We begin the current Tav Masech the Baba Basu Dafna Nalef. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah. That is, as the title of our parak discusses, Cheskes Habatim, talks about that generally a person can make a chazaka in an object, whether it be metaltlin immediately or regarding karka after 3 years, where we presume that it's the person's because he has it and he's been using it and no one's been protesting. But as the Mishnah said, there are certain individuals that there are exceptions, and there's a reason why they're being allowed to use it even though they're really someone else's, and it does not establish a chazaka. One of the cases the Mishnah described was what our Gemara quotes, V'lili isha b'nichsei ba'la v'chulo. Neither does a woman establish a chazaka by having used her husband's assets for a period of 3 years by using it without the husband protesting. So the Gemara is pshita. Well, that's pretty obvious. Why was it even necessary to say it? Kiven this l'mazayni, since she gets provided food from her husband, so mazayni hu d'ka'achla. So everybody knows that the reason why she's using this field uncontested is because the husband is required to feed her, and that's why he didn't protest. So the non-protest of the husband does not establish saying, hey, why didn't you protest? Obviously because your wife bought it from you. No, everyone knows he has to feed her. What is even the chiddush, the novelty of this halacha in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, no, tzricha, it's necessary to say this case to yachidla. We're talking about what the husband designated for her, ara achrit l'mazayni. He actually designated a different specific field for her sustenance. And she's eating from a different field for more than 3 years. Even so, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The husband's not particular if his wife eats more than what he designated for from that other field, and therefore it's not going to establish a chazaka, because the husband's not particular, his non-protest is not established that she bought it from him. Now, the Gemara makes the following inference, which the Gemara had made the same inference on the previous stuff regarding the husband not making chazaka in his wife's assets. He would have told about the wife and the husband's assets, that the inference is that the woman that cannot establish a chazaka without any documentation to prove that she bought it. But her ra'ayah, yes, but it sounds like from the Mishnah that if she has proof that she did buy it from the husband, let's say she has a shtar mechira, documentation of a sale, then it sounds like that would be a valid sale, that it would be actually that she would be considered the rightful owner now from what she bought from her husband. On that, asked the Gemara, but why? Similar to how the Gemara had asked it regarding the husband buying from the wife, so too the woman buying from the husband. Lema, let the husband say, no, even though you're right that generally land could be acquired with money, and yes, I took money from her where it was, quote, as a transaction for this land that I sold her, the land should not be acquired, she should not be the rightful owner with the money that she gave me to purchase the land. Because l'gluy yezuzihu debayi, the whole reason why I did this, so to speak, sale, was because she hid money from me. And my whole intention by, quote, selling the field to her was because I just wanted her to give up the money that she was hiding, which is mine. And it was with that assumption that I let her buy the field from me, but not to really sell it to her. I never intended to make a full-fledged kinyan of mechira, and I never intended for her to acquire it. And therefore, even if she had a documentation that he sold it to her, with two witnesses so that she gave him money, the husband should be allowed to say, I didn't really sell it to her. Forget about that she doesn't have a chazaka, even if she had a shtar mechira, should not be considered a sale. And says the Gemara, from the fact that the inference of the Mishnah says that no, she would have been, she would get the field, it would be like she acquired if she had a ru'oya approved. Shashame minas, says the Gemara, so you can infer from our Mishnah, that a mechir sadali ishtoi, if someone sells a field to his wife, kansa, she does acquire it. And what did we say? And we do not say that his intention was just to have her cough up the money which she was hiding from him. Now, the significance of this question is that this actually machlokes later on, where there are those that say that we do say, but from our Mishnah, there seems to be an inference that we do not say. Because if you do, then even if she had a documentation of, quote, the sale, it should not be considered that she's the owner. He just sold it to her to get the money from her, which she was hiding from him. Says Yom Aloy, no, it's no raya from our Mishnah. Ema rather say that the inference of the Mishnah when it says that she's not going to have a chazaka, which the Gemara was asking, but it sounds like, oh, but if she has a proof, which we're saying like a documentation of a sale, then she would get it, says the Gemara, no. Say, oh yeah, yes, the inference is, but if she had proof, she would, bishtar matana. Specifically, if she has a documentation that it was gifted to her, there he conclusively decides to give it to her, because there's no claim of saying, oh, I only did it to get the money, because there it's not a sale. He wasn't trying to get her to cough up money. A document that it was gifted to her is purely one way. So that's where, yes, if she had a documentation that it was gifted and the two witnesses saw that he said that he's gifting it to her, then of course she would get it. But don't infer by shtar mecher that she would get it, because there actually you could say that l'gluya zuzeh hudechavna. His whole intention was for her to give him back the money that she was hiding from him. Now, continuing on this theme, which we said that it's a machlekes, which we thought would be difficult from the halacha of our Mishnah, Amli Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Lehava mar gabon b'urta b'tchuma. The master, you Rav Huna, was not with us in our location in the boundaries of the city, because their bati midrashes, their study halls, were actually at the edge of the town city limits. And the reason why they did that was that on Shabbos, which you could only walk up to a certain distance, that from the surrounding cities they could come because they were within that area too. So that's where their bata medrashas were. So he says, you weren't with us in the Beis Medrash the other day. The Amrina Mili Mal Yosef, we said some really good stuff. So Amali said to my Mili Mal Yosef, what are these good teachings that you said were said last night in Beis Medrash? So he says, this was the halacha that we said. HaMoicher Sod Del Ishtim, if someone sells a field to his wife, Kansa, she acquires it, and we do not say that he didn't really want to sell it, and his whole intention was just to get her to cough up money. No, we say that it is a valid sale, and they intended to sell it, and she would be considered the rightful owner. So that Rav Huna said back to Rav Nachman, Amalei, Pshita. What do you mean? It's pretty obvious that if there's a shtar mechira documentation of a sale, that even if you would think to say that the husband has a right to claim that, oh, he was only selling it for her to cough up some money, so by taking the money, it would not be considered a kinyan. Still says Rav Huna, what do you mean? It would still be considered a valid kinyan. Even if you said, not like you're trying to be mechadish, you're saying that, oh, you have to hear the chiddush that we said, because we said it's going to be a kinyan, because we don't say l'gluli hu zuzud mechaven. So that's the Rav Huna. I don't understand why you have to say that. It's so obvious, this halacha. Even if you did say l'gluli zuzud mechaven, it would still be a kinyan. The woman would still acquire it. Because dal zuzud mechaven, forget about it. Take the money away from here. Let's say that you did say l'gluli zuzud mechaven, and that itself, the money, would not create the kinyan of the mechira. But v'tikni b'shtara, she would acquire it simply due to the fact of the actual document of the sale. Because you're right, says Rav Huna, I could tell you that regarding the money, you could say that the actual money would not create the kinyan. And not like you wanted to say your chiddush in the Beis Medrash. That because we say that the actual kinyan with the money, the sale, was just that he wanted her to bring up the money that she was hiding from him. And that he took from himself. But regarding the shtar mechir, the document of the sale, then you can't say that. Because that you could say regarding the money that you made that sale because you wanted the money, but why did you write a document? Says Rav Huna, the document of a sale is really the same thing as a document of a gift, where everyone agrees, as the Gemara is going to later explain, that there the woman for sure acquires it. Because what does he gain by giving her a gift? That's not to get any money back. So obviously she's going to acquire. Says Rav Huna, so the same thing is when he writes for a document of a sale, what does he gain by doing that? Why are you writing a shtar? Rather, obviously, it's because he's intending to make it a complete sale, purely even for the sake of the document. That itself will illustrate that he wants to sell it to her. Now, Rashbam just says, you cannot say that, no, that if he wouldn't write for her a document, then she wouldn't give the money, and his whole intention was for her to give the money, because it was l'gluli zuzi d'skaven, and that would also explain why he wrote the document. And this is Rashbam that, no, the person doesn't entertain so much to say, okay, let me write for her a document, so then she'll give me the money, so that I'll get the money that I really want to get. Regarding the money, you could say such a logic, but not to say a double type of concern of saying that that's why he wrote the document. So ask Rav Huna, forget about your chiddush. It's such an obvious halacha that she would acquire that if he sells it to her, with a shtar mechir, she would acquire it because of the document. Because says Rav Huna, mi lo itnan, didn't we learn in Mishnah Masechta Kedushin that says, nechasim sheyesh le'nachrayis, regarding properties that have insurance, meaning a term that's always used to describe karka, land, niknin could be acquired in one of three ways, bekesef, with money, ubishtar, with a document, ubichazaka, and with taking possession of it. Now, the assumption right now, the way Rav Huna is explaining it is, that halacha would apply by any document that the person could acquire a piece of land, even with a shtar mechira, without even giving any money. Because once he writes for the person a shtar mechira, so then neither one could back out anymore, and then the consumer is already obligated to give money to the seller. So says Rav Huna, Why did you, what's this big chiddush she said in the Beis HaMedrash that, oh, she's going to acquire it, and why? Why is she going to acquire it? Isn't there a sale? Oh, because the money is not a real sale. He just wanted to reveal the money where it was hidden. So says Rav Huna, even if you didn't say that logic, even if you did say that Likluli Zuzhud Mechavin, in other words, you're saying that you don't say Likluli Zuzhud Mechavin, therefore it's a real sale. Even if you said that it was Likluli Zuzhud Mechavin, that and the money is not going to function as a sale, still, the documentation itself will function, as we see that shtar is one of the three ways to acquire karka. So Amalei, Sir Rav Nachman responded back to Rav Huna, he says, wait a second. But didn't we say an explanation of this halacha that Amar Shmuel Shmuel said that when is karka niknis bishtar? Loishan el bishtar matana, that was only said regarding a document of gift, where there the whole acquisition, there's no money being tendered. So the actual kinyan is happening through the document. Abishtar mecher, but says Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, what are you comparing to the case that I'm discussing regarding a sale? Where there Shmuel says that a document of a sale, loikana, the document itself will not create the kinyan, actually until you give the money. So therefore says Rav Nachman, you need the chiddush that we said in the Beis Medrash last night. Because if you said that the money was legally zuzhud mechavin and was not functioning as a sale, the document itself actually does not create the kinyan of a mecher. As Shmuel explains, for that it only works until you have the money. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, you do need the chiddush that we're saying that, but the money is going to be a sale because you don't say legally zuzhud mechavin. Now, and that says Rav Huna back to Rav Nachman, but wait a second. V'lav moisav Rav Amnuna, but didn't Rav Amnuna ask on that halach of Shmuel an explanation of that Mishnah over there from the following Braisa? Because the Braisa explains that Mishnah. The Braisa says, Bishtar Ketzad. What is this one of these three ways of acquiring land through a documentation? So the Braisa says, Kasav loy alanyar, if let's say he writes to him on a piece of paper, or el cheres, or on a shard of earthenware, that regarding this transaction, so says the Braisa, Afa Bishim Shavapruta, even if let's say the document itself is not worth a Shavapruta, it doesn't have to have an intrinsic value, it still functions as the Kinya of a Shtar. And what does he write in it? Sadai Mechurlach. He writes on the document, my field is sold to you. Sadai Knuyulach, my field is acquired to you. Says the Braisa, Harizu Mechura Unasuna. So then it's going to function as one of the three ways of the Kinyanim of Karka, which the Kinya of Shtar, it's going to be sold and given to that person. So, says Rav Huna, what you see from Rav Amnuna's question on Shmuel, that obviously, a shtar mecher, a document of a sale, as the Braisa's talk might explain the kinyan of shtar, will also acquire, and purely on the document. So then you're really back to the question, what's this milim al yasa, what's this great stuff you said in Beis Medrash last night, that you're saying a chiddush that the woman's going to acquire it because we don't say that the husband could claim it's just legluli zuzud mechavin. You're back to the question, it's not true. Even if you said it is legluli zuzud mechavin, purely on the shtar mecha, like you see in the Braisa, as was asked on Shmuel, would create the kinyan by itself. So on that says Rav Nachman back to Rav Huna, What are you talking about? V'la, but didn't we say within the first parak of Masechtas Kedushin that Rav Amnuna, who Moisev law, yeah, he had asked that question, which you're trying to tell back to me and ask on me, what he had asked on Shmuel, but v'hu mefarek law, you're forgetting the second half of his statement. He then answered the question in explaining that Braisa, which spoke about a shtar mecher making a kinyan, he explained that it's talking about a specific type. That was Toma specifically regarding someone who's selling his field because how inferior it is, which was bad land. There, most definitely, the seller is conclusively desiring to get it off his hands, and he's acquiring it to the buyer with already just a document. And then then it's considered like a loan, the money that the Lekeach owes until it's being collected by the seller. But regarding other lands, the halacha of Shmuel does stand, and the buyer does not acquire it just with the documentation until, like Shmuel said, until the seller gets the money. And therefore, you, says Rav Nachman, you are back to what I said, that you need the hani milim al yasa, because as regards to the document itself, that actually, by a shtar mecha, would not create the kinyan. You need to have the money with it, and therefore, again, says Rav Nachman, it's only because we were mechadish in the Beis Medrash that the money will function as a mecher, because you don't say legluli zuzud mechavin, that's why the woman's going to acquire, but your question is not a difficulty on what were we saying. Now, the Girsa takes out the next line, and that was one approach to answer the question on Shmuel from the Braisa that Rav Nun had asked on, which is explaining that, yeah, Shtar Mecher is going to create a Kinyan, but only by a specific one, like Meicha Sedei Mimnei Re'asa. But like Rav Nachman, for his halacha, which is also the way Rav Nun himself resolved Shmuel's halacha, was that but a regular sale of regular land, there the Kinyan would not require with just the Shtar Mecher, you would need to have it with the money. So over there, Bnei Re'asa, since like a matani, you just want to give it to the person, and then they'll acquire it with just a shtar itself. But Rav Ashi Amar, he says that actually, the Braisa is not talking about a shtar mecher at all. Rather, talking about a shtar matana. Now, the only thing is that it's very normal where a person who wants to give a gift to someone else on the document would write terminologies of a sale. And that is, as Rav Ashi says, b'matana bikish litnaloi. Actually, the guy was attempting to gift it to someone else. Now, v'loma katzav le'b'losha mechas, then why is he writing a terminology of a sale? I mean, we're saying that, like Shmuel says, that a shtar mecher never acquires to the person with the document itself, which again is the resolution for Rav Nachman too. So then why isn't that the terms it says there in the Braisa that says, sadei mechurulach, to use the terms of sale? Why is he using the terminology of a sale? Is kedeliapas kaychai, is to strengthen the power of the recipient of the gift. Where if, let's say, some people contest his possession, his ownership of this possession, then the one who gifted it to him will have to go ahead and appease and deal with these people that are contesting like a seller, where he wants and he can then deal with the ones who are contesting, saying, well, I don't want this guy to have complaints to me because I sold it to him. Which that halacha does not apply by the halacha of a gift. So in other words, the way you read the Braisa is actually, when it says sadi mechurulach, the terms of sadi kenuyulach, it means both, meaning my field is sold to you and it's gifted to you. And that's what the Braisa then concludes and says, harizim mechurub in the sunnah. It's not actually talking about two different cases, going back on the one of the sale and the one of the gifting. It's actually both, meaning it's sold, meaning that the responsibility of the recipient of the gift will be on the seller. And moreover, it's also nesuna, it's also gifted to him, which you gain on a different element, which the halacha of bar metzora, which as the Gemara bar metzora kof chesam beis explains, that a person is not allowed to sell, he has to first sell to the people on the boundary of the property he's trying to sell. But by a gift, that halacha bar metzora does not apply, because you're right, if I'm selling, and it doesn't make, I'm guaranteeing the money anyway, so fine, I have to sell it to you. But if I'm gifting, I have a reason why I want to give it to that person. So that's what the Braisa is saying, that the person who's gifting and he writes terminology of a sale, he has both the benefits of a sale, which is then the seller could get involved in dealing with those who are contesting, and also the benefits of a gift, which is that there's no problems of bar metzor. But there's no difficulty on Shmuel, and hence on Rav Nachman from this Braisa, because it's not Toma Shtar Mecher at all, it's only Toma Shtar Matana that used the terminology of Mechira. Now Gemara continues asking on this halacha of Rav Nachman. Meisevei. Again, Rav Nachman had said that we said these Milim al Yosin Bis Medrash, that if a husband sells a field to the wife, she acquires it. And that asked the Gemara from the following Braisa. Lava min ha'evet. If someone borrows money from his slave and he writes a document of a loan, and thus, like a regular loan, all his assets have a lien on it from his slave's loan to him. Then he frees the slave. Or let's say, mina isha v'girsha, he takes a loan from his wife and then he divorces her. Says the Braisa, ein lahen alav klum. Those, meaning the slave and the woman, do not have any rights to claim the money that they loaned to their master or to their husband. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? La mishum, isn't it because the amrinan that we do say, leglulei zuzi hudabayi, the whole reason why he was meshabed oz nechasim to the eved or to the wife who are giving him money was because they stole his money. They're just hiding. They're around all day and they're taking from the drawer here, drawer here. He knows they siphoned off thousands of dollars. So he makes this, oh, let me borrow from you $10,000, I have a very important investment, and they could just cough up the money. Therefore, when he frees them and they go their own ways, they cannot come to claim by him because he could say, look, loser to the buyer. Now, that's not like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that we don't say that logic, and that's why the woman will acquire the field when he, quote, sells it to her. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. Shani Hasam, that price is different. Why is it different? A person would not want to make himself, what the Pasuk initially says, Evid Leiva Ishmalva. The borrower is like a slave to the one who's lending him money. In other words, we could testify that nobody willingly would ever make himself a slave, which is what a borrower is on some level, if he could get himself out in any other way. Now, so therefore we could say, why would this guy do this? Why would he borrow from his slave, borrow from his wife? Must be because he just wanted to get them to cough up the money, and there's no way for him to get it, if not to go to the extent of borrowing money from them. Now, that stands in contrast to Rav Nachman's halacha regarding a sale, where, no, there we could say that he conclusively wanted to go ahead and sell this to his wife, because he doesn't get put into such a situation. He's not a slave of a borrower at the time when he's making a sale to his wife. And even more so, says the Rashbam, even if he accepts insurance, like he accepts responsibility for what he's selling to his wife, it still yet wasn't taken by other people that he should then be considered an Eved Leiva regarding the consumer who bought it from him, as like, okay, now he's indebted to that person. You don't have that element there. But by a borrower, the immediacy of that is you right away become indebted to that person. That's something that we could assume that if he did it, okay, they will say the svar of legluli nafshihuda of it, because why would he put himself to such a situation? Must be he just wants to get back money that they've been taking from him. But by sale, that's not difficult. And Rav Nachman, we could say that no, he wholeheartedly decided to sell it to his wife, and therefore kansa, and then we don't say, oh, it's legluli zuzuhu dibaya. Now, the Gemara continues a similar type of discussion with Rav Nachman's halacha and the question, so too Shalach Rav Huna bar Avin. Rav Huna bar Avin had sent to the students of the Beis Medrash the following halacha. He said, Hamaycher sadal ishta, if someone sells his field to his wife, so kansa she has acquired it. And if we continue our Talmud Beis, another addition to this halacha is Ubal Eichel Peiris. And moreover, although the wife has acquired it, but the husband eats the produce of it, because it's not any worse than property that she inherited when her father passed away, and is Yerusha, where although it's her field, but the husband eats from her peiros of the Nechse Milug, here also she'll acquire it, as we said before, but he'll eat the peiros. Now, Baram, however, he said, but Rababa, Rebavo, V'chol Gadale Hadar Amr, and all the great ones of the generation, they said that's not really so, because B'matana Bikesh Litnala, he intended really to give her a gift, and not to eat the peiros. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, that when a husband gifts something to his wife, then she acquires it, and then he does not eat the peiros from it. Now, that stands in contrast, where although he's selling the field to her, we say that he does not eat the peiros. That's different than when someone sells something to his friend, where we wouldn't say that he really meant to gift it and is just given as a sale, because there a person doesn't love someone as much as his wife. By a wife, although he sold it to her, we say that no, he really intended to gift it to her. And then, so if he gifted to her, as we'll explain later, then he does not eat the pears. So then why did he write it as if he sold it to her? Oh, that's like we said before, so that he can strengthen her power, where not only does she have the maila of a mecher, which is that he could go ahead and contend with whoever is contending the property that he sold to her, but also that there's no halacha, so bametzah, like it is by the halacha of a gift. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, meisvei. The Gemara asked on Rav Huna bar Avin the same question that the Gemara had asked previously on Rav Nachman, which Rashbam points out that because these two statements were said at different times in the Beis Medrash, and the Gemara asked the same question. We learn in the Brayis that says, "Love him in the Eved v'Shechura." If someone borrows from his slave and then he frees him, or "Min the Isha v'Girsha," from his wife and then he divorces her, says the Brayis. So "Ein lehen no love klum." They have nothing. They have no claims against him to collect from him after they get divorced. So my time. What's the reason? Says the Gemara, "Lav mishum." Isn't it because the Amri that we do say legluli zuzehu debay? Because he didn't really take a loan from them, and there's no indebtedness. He just wanted to get back money that he knows they've been taking. He wanted to reveal the money that they've been hiding from him, and that they don't acquire, whether it be a loan or whether it be a sale, which is not like this halacha of Rav Huna bar Avin, who said that if the husband sells something to his wife, she does acquire it. So the Gemara knows Shani Hasim, like we said in Oman Aleph, there it's different. A person would not make himself into such a situation as a borrower, because that's a very low type of situation. So therefore, we have to think of logic. Well, why would he do this? He really wouldn't want to do this. It must be it was like Lulizuzu Dechavin. But by a sale, We don't have a reason to have to say that. Sale. Why wouldn't he sell to his wife? You know, there's no degrading part of that. And therefore, we don't say the, and therefore, it is like Rav Nimer Avin said that there it will be a sale, and the woman will acquire it. Gemara continues on this. Amar Rav says Amichur Sad Leishta, as we said before, Kansa she will acquire it, and Vahabal Ichel Peiris. And like Rav Nimer Avin had said, the husband will eat the peiris. Now, b'matana, as we said before, as we alluded to, that everyone agrees, b'matana kansa, when he gives it to her, she acquires it. Ve'en habal eichel peiris, and that here, the husband does not eat the peiris. Why is it? Isn't it anything that she gets, the husband eats the peiris from it? It's because when someone gifts something, it's what's called, as the Gemara will tell us later on, Dafnun Gimel, Be'en Yafanaisen. Somebody gives something, gives it with a good eye. You want to give a gift, you want to give it all the way with all the trimmings, and that means everything. The actual body of the property and the peiris, he won't get anything of it. That's Rav's halacha. Rabbi Lazam, he says, no, echadzeh ve'echadzeh, both by when he sells it to her, when he gives it to her, kansa ve'en habal eichel peiris. She acquires it, and the husband does not eat the peiris, which is like Rabbi Avin Rav Hoh said, that why does he not eat the peiris when he sells it to her? Because really wanted to gift it to her, but why did he write it as a sale? It was only to be liyapas as kaicha, but it has the same power as a gift where the husband does not eat the peiris. Now, the Gemara tells us that Avi Rav Chisda uvdik Rabbi Lazar. Rav Chisda Paskin, they actually did this in practice, like Rabbi Lazar, that when a husband went and sold a field to his wife, he said that she acquires it, and the husband does not eat the peiris. So Amalei Rabban Ukfa for Rabban Nechemya. So these two Rabban Ukfa and Rabban Nechemya, who were the Bnei Bansi the Rav, who were the sons of the daughters of Rav, said to Rav Chisda, in defense of their Zayda, their grandfather Rav, that Shavig Ma Ravari, you the master, Rav Chisda, are leaving the great ones, which is Rav, who he's before Rabbi Yechanan, who Rabbi Yechanan himself was the Rebbe of Rabbi Lazar, as the Gemara says in Maseftas Chulin of Tzadahim and Beis, that as long as Rav was alive, when Rabbi Yechanan would send to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, he would say, Lekadim Rabbeinu Shebe Bavel, in front of our teacher in Bavel. Which, obviously, that Rav was greater than Rabbi Yechanan. And moreover, Rabbi Yechanan himself had said to Rosh Lakish that all those days that they were in the yeshiva, Rabbi Yechanan would sit, Rav would be sitting, and Rabbi Yechanan would be standing, showing that the deference that Rabbi Yechanan, who is the teacher of Belazar, had to Rav. So you're leaving the psak of Rav, the Avid Kizutra, and you're doing like the smaller ones, like Rabbi Lazar, who is only a student of Rabbi Yechanan, who Rabbi Yechanan had deference to Rav himself. Now, although that Rabbi Lazar is not alone in this psak, he's like, as we said before, like Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Avon, and all the G'del Hadar, their colleagues, who we said before that when it's regarding even a mecher, really they want to do it as a matana, just using the terminology of a mecher, and that's how Rabbi Lazar holds that the husband does not eat the peiris, but that, says Rashbam, they're also considered the small ones in comparison to Rav, because they were all students of Rabbi Yechanan. And Rabbi Yechanan himself shows deference to Rav. So how could he pask in Rav Chisda like Rabbi Lazar in contrast to Rav? So Amalehem, so Rav Chisda said to them, no, Vanon Namika Rav Rav Yavdi. I'm also doing like the great ones, like Rabbi Yechanan, who is ultimately a colleague of Rav's. Because the Chiyas and Rav and Am Rabbi Yechanan, Rav and said in the Rabbi Yechanan, the same halacha, that Echadzeh ve'Echadzeh, both regarding when he sells it to his wife or gives it to his wife, Kanta, she acquires it, the Ein HaBa'alechal Peres, in all situations, the husband does not eat the peres. So I'm a Rava Paskins, he says, Hilchas Adalacha is, HaMeicher Sad L'Ishta, if someone sells a field to his wife, Loi Kansa, she does not acquire it, V'Abal L'Ichel Peres, and the husband eats the produce of the field that he sold to her, B'Matana, by a gift, as we said, everyone agrees, there Kansa, she acquires it, V'in Abal L'Ichel Peres, and the husband does not eat the peres. Now the Gemara asks, Tarti, can you have both? How does that first Halacha of Rava make sense? Each half of it contradicts the other. When Rav has said that when the husband sells a field to his wife, he says, Loi Kansa, she has not acquired it. That sounds like she has not acquired anything of it. Not the body of the property, not the produce of the property. And why would that be? Because he would obviously be going like the pin that holds L'Gluzuzuhu Debay. It was not meant to be a sale. He just wanted her to cough up some of the money that she's been hiding from him. Yet the second half of his halacha that says, and the husband eats the peiris, sounds like that he gets the peiris, but that the wife gets the actual body of the property, where he's obviously saying that it is a sale, and it's not like Luz is Huzehud the Bayis. How does that make sense? So it's about Leikash, it's not difficult. They're actually talking about two different cases. Kan b'moyz t'munin. One case is talking about where the how did the wife pay for the land that the husband sold to her was with monies that no one ever knew about. Where'd you get this money? She's pulling out, don't worry, I have, and she's pulling out tons of cash and paying, okay, give me the field that I'm buying from you. That's where Rabbi says, the woman has not acquired the field, because then it definitely is logical to say that the husband knew about this, and the only reason why he was, quote, selling it to her is because he wanted her to cough up the money he's been hiding and siphoning off from her. Kan b'moyishe eintimun. However, when the second half of Rabbi's halacha was saying that she does acquire it and the husband eats the peiros, was talking about where she paid with money that was not hidden. Meaning, he knew about that she has this money in her bank account, where that was all out there in the open, and there it's logical to say that that is going to be a sale, and wasn't the glue that was in the b'chavim, because there was no hidden money that ended up coming out over here. As the Gemara says, the Amar Rav, like Rav Yehuda said, that by Mois Timunin, when she paid with concealed money that no one ever knew about, then Loikans, then she has not acquired it, because then we could say the husband's whole intention was to get those monies that he knew was hidden and bring it out in the open. But Moshe ain't one if she paid with money that was not hidden, everyone knows this is money that she got for her birthday gift or whatever it is, and she's using it to buy, then concept, then she has acquired it. But again, then just Rabbi says on that, although she has acquired it, but like Rabbi Hunabar Oven had said, although that she acquires it, but he's still going to eat the peiros, not like Rabbi Lazar said and Rabbi Abba Ravo and all the Gedolei Dor, that they said that no, he never eats the peiros because really he wanted a gift to her, which everyone agrees a gift is ba'ayin yafa, is totally all the way, I want you to have everything, even the peiros. He holds no, like Rabbi Hunabar Oven, that the husband will eat the peiros, so although she acquires it, but he's gonna eat the peiros like Rav had said, because ultimately it is a sale, and by a sale, it's although she gets it, but just like anything she inherits that is hers, she gets the body, but the husband eats the peiros.